I am one of the guys behind Hazard Studio, the producer of Supers, the comic book role-playing game, and Supers Revised. I'm here today with one of our Kickstarter backers from 2013, the amazing Jeff Seifert, who has posted up a character that is now on our limited edition villainous cover, which only comes out during certain times of the year. And then when we do drag it out, not only is Jeff's amazing concept...
Looks like we froze up.
All of the monies raised from that cover goes to several charities. So, Jeff, welcome today.
Thanks, Walt. I'm glad to be here.
So, aside from the Kickstarter, what makes you famous?
Absolutely nothing, which I love.
Like to fly under the radar, that way it's easier to slip in and out of your secret identity?
Exactly right.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Okay, so what we thought we would do today is we're going to craft a Supers character from scratch. And we can do this one of two ways. If you have an idea in mind, we can then we can take that idea and use the rules to craft it and put it together. Or we can go crazy and go random. So totally up to you.
Let's do random. I'm a fan of random.
All right. Fanning the random. So if we turn to the back of the book, we have all these great tables and a random character generator by Reed Sanfilippo. So Reed has crafted an amazing piece of architecture for this game in that just a couple of die rolls and you are on your way. So let's get started.
All right.
We have the first table, which is going to be your origin. So you got a D6 handy?
I do. I'm going to use roll 20.
Cool.
Put it up.
All right. Let's see what trouble we can get into. First roll is a 5. So we go 5, and that's going to put us into the third table. Go ahead and roll again.
And a 3.
And a 3. So this guy's going to be magical, which is kind of interesting because later we'll be using him for a black magic introduction to our next adventure. All right. So we got a magical origin. All right. So he's going to have -1 to his resistances somewhere, but +1 to his powers. According to the handy chart on page 145 of the random character generator of our cool little rule book.
Exactly.
All right. And let's go to the next table. Resistances. All right. So we're going to roll 8 dice, group them according to their results, and then reference the table below.
All right. There's 8 rolls.
All right. Let's see what we got. I'm switching from one screen to another, so you guys – bear in mind that me making random noises is not really great radio. There we go. All right. 6, 2, 5, 3, 3, 6, 3, and 4.
Those are not my social security number for those who might be interested.
And that means this is great radio. So Jeff is obviously not afraid of a microphone. All right. So for composure.
All right.
Let's see. All right. So you got those allocated?
Sure. My pen out here. I had it earlier and it disappeared on me.
I have cats, so they do that all the time. Little bastards.
All right.
Ooh. All right. And how are you going to allocate those?
That's a good question. Let's see. So we've got, what's my allocation here? 6 dice. Oh, We'll put what we got. So we got 2d for let's do reaction.
Okay.
3d for will.
Okay.
And then 1d for each of the others.
Cool. So that's fortitude and composure.
Yes.
All right. So he's fast. He's strong-willed, but a little reluctant to get into it. And if he does get hit, things might not go so well. All right. Aptitudes. Okay, so we're going to.
All right.
We're going to go on to the aptitudes table on that same page.
All right. Looks like five dice.
Yep.
And group them according to the results. So we've got almost a straight 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, just missing a 3. So. All right. Let's see. So we've got one. What we got here? Academia, looks like.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Trying to read how this works, Walt. It's the first time I've actually run through the random one.
It takes a second, but once you got it figured, you know, these random characters start flowing like water.
Okay, so we've got, 1, 2, 4, 5, and 6. So we go across first, down. Probably, is that vehicles?
Okay.
Medical.
Okay.
And then we'll just add a competency dice or an additional rank to each of those, I guess. Or two of them, I guess. Yeah. Good.
Which one are you going to jump up?
Let's do medical. So I might need to might need help in that area.
You know, just don't get hit.
All right.
All right, so we've factored in our aptitudes. Time to go for powers. So, once again, going to page 147 on the handy-dandy Supers rulebook.
All right. Seven dice. Looks like we have 2 2s, 2 4s, a 3, a 5, and a 6.
Nice.
So that gives me what here? Was it a power? Power number 2. Group them according to the results. Reference table below. Allocate the number of dice in each result group as specified on the table.
Yes. So that table is going to be 148. Next page.
Yep. All right, so what about my first roll? Is what? Just I go with the 2 2s. So that would be power number 2, correct, if I'm reading that right?
Uh-huh.
And then go down to, is it following what, density control, is that right?
Yes, density control or size control.
We'll go density.
Cool. That might help out in the whole fortitude thing you had going on.
What I'm thinking. Well, we got 2 4s. Is that mimic energy, mimic substance?
Yes, sir.
So, we'll mimic energy.
That's cool.
Then 1-3 armor.
That'll help.
For sure. 1-5. What is that? Burrowing flight or dimensional travel, huh? Take flight.
Okay.
And then 1-6, communication or super senses? I think we'll take super senses.
There we go.
All right. That ought to do it.
All right. So now we're going to start putting this all together. So we have boosts, complications, and then advantages, disadvantages.
All right. So we need to roll for 2 dice on the boost table?
Yes, sir.
All right. 1 and a 3. All right. That gives me 1 and a 3. So let's see there. I got to roll another 1 here. Gives me a 5. So extra effect versus X.
There you go.
All right. I'll have to figure out what X is here in a minute.
Well, that's something we could always throw in there once we start wiggling a concept
in. The first time I get nailed.
Yeah, it's extra effect against that. Sure.
That's right. Why not? Complications. Oh, this is always a fun one. 5 and a 6. Visible. All right. All my powers, you can see them. That's always fun.
Makes it hard to pick pockets.
It does, indeed. Makes it hard for that secret identity to stay secret for too long. All right.
It's just like, it's just like, you know, when certain bodily emissions come out and everybody blames the dog.
Isn't that the truth? All right, that's good for boosts and complications. Now we got to do advantages and disadvantages. All right, advantages. Base of operations.
Ooh, nice. Nice one. So you have a secret sanctum somewhere.
Sanctum sanctorum.
Nice.
And for a disadvantage to go right along with that, I'm either poor or unskilled. Let's find out which one. Poor. So I have a very, very poor base of operations. It's a cardboard box in an alley somewhere.
Well, that's because, you know, all that money spent on a magical education.
That's right.
You know, until you become the next Chris Angel.
Yeah, there you go. All right.
All right, so we have, what's that?
Okay, so, all right, I think that's about it. That's good for advantages and disadvantages.
Cool.
One of each. Okay. Now I need to assign my, so I got -1 to my, to my resistances.
Somewhere.
Well, we'll take Will down to 2.
Okay.
And plus one of the powers somewhere. Probably increase density control.
There we go. And what's that at?
Let's see. What have I got here? 1D, 2D. All right, I think I've got 2D in density control.
So that's going up to 3?
Yep. And then 1D in flight, 1D in super senses, 1D in armor, and 2 in mimic energy. All right. That's right. Yep. Good. All right.
All right. So we have crafted the character using the incredible random generator. And all right, so what idea pops into your head first? So
what I'm thinking here.
Male or female?
The male.
Okay.
I've got a picture of the Vision in my head all of a sudden, just looking at his power set.
Right?
let's see. Super senses, flight, armor. Well, he's obviously some kind of a blaster.
With that whole mimic energy thing going on?
The mimic energy, and it's all visible, so he likes to be seen.
Might be a good time to invest in a mask.
That's what I'm thinking. So we will call... let's see. All right. He's the Goblin Ghost.
Ooh, like it. The Goblin Ghost.
There we go.
That's nice. That's almost like you had that ready to go. So with the Goblin Ghost, this young male, is he old? Is he young?
He's young. He is picturing first adventure out. Probably just finished his magical training. Wanted to go kind of prove himself a little bit.
And where was this magical training?
His magical training, let's see. It was... His magical training was from a hobo that he met in an alley.
I love it.
He was in the next cardboard box over.
Got it. And I'm going to slip over, grab my drawing.
Not sure how much of the magical training came from the special juice that he was given. The small flask or not.
Does he have a flask of his own now?
He does have a flask of his own.
Nice.
He likes his Kool-Aid. He's 15 right. years old.
15. What a tough age, especially drinking the Kool-Aid.
Yes, exactly. And
now, when he goes out as the Goblin Ghost, does he have a costume, or is it like hobo clothes and he pulls up a scarf over his face?
Yeah, he's pretty much managed to cobble together something from old Halloween outfits that he's found in the dumpsters.
This is great.
And
Oh my God, it writes itself.
He has he's got this goblin kind of plastic mask that he puts on, and then he found an old sheet, and that's what he wears over his body. That's how he got the name Goblin Ghost. Remember the old Charlie Brown sheet with all the holes in it that he cut?
Oh, my God, that's perfect.
That's pretty much what it looks like.
Oh, my God. Now, do we have a name for this young man?
His name? I'll name him after my son. His name's Drake. Doesn't know his last name because he kind of grew up on the streets. Obviously, he was either abandoned or something happened. And so part of his drive is to find out what happened to his parents. Why did he end up on the street?
Nice. Absolutely cool. So Drake, a.k.a. the Goblin Ghost, young 15-year-old with a hip flask full of hobo juice and wielding mystical powers that he learned along the rail lines. Now, does he know, as part of his academia skill that we just gave him, Does he know the secret hobo language of all the different railways?
He does know the secret hobo language of the railways.
That's fantastic. That's awesome. All right. So he's kind of quick. He's got that heavy 3D reaction, and he's a little bit strong-willed. Kind of got the will that would have made him a soldier, or some sort of activist if he was in a better situation. But probably because of him living on the street, his fortitude and his composure might have been a little bit affected. That's why they're down at 1D.
Yeah, he's got he's got some esteem issues.
Awesome. All right. So his academia, is that pretty general, or is he more streetwise than anything else?
His academia actually is really focused on comic book folklore, because he picks up a lot of the old funny books from the trash.
Oh my God, that's awesome. And he's got that medical skill. How did he come
in? So he kind of learned to patch himself up from, and he tended to get beat up a lot. And
as you do
when you have very, very poor, good reaction. But unfortunately, when he gets caught, he does manage to take a beating. So he learned to kind of patch himself up. And then his vehicles, that's more the criminal side. So, he early on had to jack some cars and get where he needs to go.
Nice. So maybe he's worked for a chop shop or two?
He has indeed.
So definitely a dark past at the ripe old age of 15. Now, let's talk about his powers a little bit. We have this vast array of powers.
Theory of the day.
How do we tie them together?
Tie what? The aptitudes?
What's that?
What'd you say? How do we tie the...
The powers together.
Oh.
So let's say he met the mystical hobo. Do we have a name for the mystical hobo? Even like a nickname that somebody might have called him?
He called himself Railway Jack.
I love it. I am so writing this comic. Railway Jack. This is fantastic. So Railway Jack takes young Drake under his wing and starts teaching him the mystical arts of hobo jitsu.
So he his armor comes from some of the cardboard padding that he puts on.
Oh God. All right, so that's a device?
That's a device.
All right. So you could actually increase that if you're going to use a device.
So you go to 2D.
Yep. And then that will be his mystical cardboard arm.
There we go.
Oh my God, this writes itself.
So the super senses, trying to think if I want to make that, I have to make that more general. I have to look that up. I don't remember. Top of my head.
Well, with the super senses, you pick out something that you're looking to actually sense.
Yep.
Go with it. Like, you can go infrared, sense magic. However you feel works for the character.
I think for him, it probably makes sense to, he's got kind of a mystical sense. So he can kind of sense the magic from the railways that he's learned and everything. He's kind of, he's picked up the ability to be kind of magical sensitive.
Okay.
Probably cool. How he gets involved in this adventure.
That definitely fits in with what's going on.
Flight, just standard. Nothing super there. Yeah, other than flying.
right.
So he can fly somewhere around 25 miles an hour, give or take. so his mimic energy So he can pretty much, whatever he touches, he'll, basically turn into.
So. Makes it really good for carrying a lighter and lighting those hobo fires in trash barrels.
Yes, he likes to say flame on, even though it's, density control. This could be fun. Let's see.
It's going page 41.
Yeah, I got it. little girl in the cape there. I love that.
Right? That's Aid Smith's artwork. When he turned that in, I laughed my ass off. It was awesome. Absolutely awesome.
Just reminds me like Superman when he picked up the car when he was a baby.
Right? I mean, but if you look really close, right, and it's kind of hard to see in the print copy, but it you definitely can see it in the digital. If you look right between her feet, she's actually saving something.
That is hard to see in the print, but you're right.
She's saving a kitty.
Yep.
When he turned that in and I saw that in all its glory, I could not stop laughing. And I hit him up on the internet and I'm like, where did you come up with this? It's perfect. So, and now we have the density control at 3D. So, I mean, you could get beefy.
Yes.
Do this.
Yes, so he learned quickly that was one of the areas that he needed to keep himself from getting beat up. So
now our young Mr. Drake, is he a big guy? Is he
he's kind of scrawny. Yeah, he's scrawny.
I'm going to scroll down a little bit so you can actually see. I already started working on the sketch. So I already started him as kind of scrawny. So a little bit thin.
Yep.
Just so he, here we go. Yeah. Now it doesn't look like I'm in the middle of an earthquake. I kind of pictured him as kind of scrawny. So we'll go with that. All right. So he's got that density control. How does he use it? Does it have, now it's all visible. So does he like,
so when he activates his density control, he almost gets it's almost like a sheen, that basically appears over his body.
Nice.
And then mimic energy, obviously, that's pretty obvious. Armor, right. Obvious. Now his flight, he kind of actually has, these jet trails, that you see in the air. That's pretty much what he leaves whenever he flies around.
Oh my God, that's great. So when he puts on the cardboard, the
mystical cardboard armor? Yes. Yes, indeed.
Oh my God, that's fantastic. When he puts on the mystical cardboard armor, does he? Does it glow with magical might or symbols or anything like that? It's
got the mystical hobo symbols etched in the magical Sharpie.
What's that? He put it on with a magical Sharpie?
Yes.
Oh my God. Oh, that's fantastic. Symbols. Now, is some of this cardboard armor visible? On the over the sheet,
it is. So he's got kind of pick almost like soccer shin guards, and then his forearm is like just picture like the tubes from the
paper towel rolls.
Towel rolls. Yeah, just slice it down the middle and just put that on his arm.
Oh my God! Oh, I really wish Mike Lafferty was here. Mike Lafferty is the main host on the Banff podcast. He would be loving this right now. I can't wait till he sees this. Okay, so we have the mystical cardboard tube shin guards. How about his super senses? Does he get to reach out on his own and just look for stuff, or is he? Are these triggered?
Ability. Yeah, it's more of a passive ability. And unfortunately, when he does sense something, his eyes and mouth tend to just like glow and start emitting this bright light. It really tends to freak people out.
Oh my God. I love this. We got the for the density control, and you know, he takes on this like kind of like glowy sheen. Does he use one aspect of it over another, or does he go? I'm gonna take heat for saying this. Does he go both ways with that? Does he go absolute zero so that he can pass through objects, and then you know, absolute heavy so he can, you know, get increased strength and durability?
He does a little bit of both. Just depends on the situation. You know, as he used to get beat up quite a bit. It really depended on who was beating him up. So if it was a big, hefty bruiser kind of guy, he'd try to go hard and kind of turtle up. And it tends to be, if he's more getting kind of verbally abused, he just kind of fades away into kind of, you know, nothingness.
So that nobody can hurt him.
Right. Kind of his visible emotional state.
Nice. All right. So let's talk about the extra effect. Where are we going to put that? Or is that all over the place?
That's a good question. We're probably going to have to, I'm going to attach that to mimic energy.
Okay.
And I think the extra effect will be, good question. Think about how this is going to fit with him.
Maybe a fight fire with fire kind of deal, so he's better at dealing with magical threats.
Yeah, that seems to make sense with his magical sensitivity.
Or possible he's got extra effect versus people who don't bathe. You know, spent from years of honing his skills of not getting beaten up on the trainways.
That's right. Years of not bathing himself.
Yes, there you go. All right, so extra effect versus mystical nature?
Yeah, versus like mystical, anything he senses, is able to sense with his mystical senses.
And that's the mimic energy. All right, how about the, now we've already talked about the physical effects. Let's talk about this base. Where does a mystic hobo guardian of the railways hang his hat?
He literally has a cardboard box. that is his base of operations. He has.
Now, is it like the TARDIS where it's bigger on the inside than it is the outside?
Exactly. and he's got his little box door flap, you know, go in and that's his hideaway.
That's perfect.
Go in and pretty much it's like a I picture like the Batcave, you know, where it's got all of these the things that he's taken from the various areas in the alleyways and everything, and he's kind of layered it out. So he's got a whole comic book wall postered up, and you know, just a little shrine with his flask that sits there.
Nice.
So.
Oh my God, that's amazing. oh God. Now let's look at this poor aspect that you picked up for his disadvantage. Why is he out there?
Like I said, he grew up, he doesn't know. He doesn't know why he's out there. He just he grew up on the streets, kind of raised by these hobos, and you know, he doesn't, they always tell him he's got some kind of destiny, but he has no idea what it is. They don't have any clue. They just get this sense about him that he's got some kind of a destiny ahead of him. But he's never been able to hold down a serious job, tends to get fired from wherever he goes.
Except for the chop shop.
Well, even the chop shop, he managed to get kicked out of there after a while. You know, after his face started glowing, freaked them out, and he got booted. So he pretty much, you know, stays to the shadows and tries to do what he can to defend his alleyway, and the people of the city, particularly any lost or, you know, downtrodden.
So he's kind of like Spawn in that he's not really out for the big world-ending threats. He's just looking to stop anybody attacking his buddies in the alleys.
Exactly.
And does he ride the rails like the hobos?
He does indeed. He rides the rails. He lives in Chicago, so he rides the L a lot.
Chicago.
Yeah.
Nice. So
he rides the L and around the city and gets it. He likes it because it's not underground, and he can visualize everything that's going on as he's riding the rails and can see where he's needed.
Nice. Now, I have a question that just came to mind about his magical cardboard box, TARDIS. does this mystic haven that he has, does that fold up and go into his pocket?
Well, yes and no. it does fold up, and he can actually utilize it as part of his armor.
Oh wow, that's cool! I like that.
Fold it up and place it on one of his forearms. It'll be one of the rolled up tubes.
Oh my God, that's great. By the way, I just want to give a little shout out to WTF, which is WT Photo Style. That's at Ben Kramer on Twitter. He's listening to us live right now. And he just put up listening to Walt and a guest on a random generator for Super's RPG characters. The mystical hobo guardian of the railways, loving it. So thank you so much for that, Ben. So we're going to keep going with this.
Thanks, Ben.
So the goblin ghost, Drake, his cardboard box actually can become part of his armor. That's actually pretty cool. So he can kind of take this wherever he goes.
Exactly.
Now, does he have some sort? I'm gonna hate myself for saying this. does he have sort of like a security system on his cardboard box? Is his cardboard box a Fortress of Solitude?
It is a Fortress of Solitude, yes. It basically makes itself just nondescript. Wherever he puts it, it seems to fit. Nice. And nobody really pays it that much attention. So,
Now, is it just him that's able to go in there, or can he bring people?
He could bring people in, but he hasn't found anybody that he wants to bring in.
Nobody who's going to steal his bottle caps and stuff like that. Got it. So how about enemies? Does this guy have any enemies? Has he made enemies? Is my biggest question about this is his mentor, Railway Jack, which is just screaming to be put into a comic book. Railway Jack, is he still alive?
He's not sure. Railway Jack disappeared about a year ago. And he's not sure what happened. He just went out one day, riding the rails and just never came back. And so part of Drake's, he's out there, defending the needy, but he's also in search of really the only family he ever had. And so Railway Jack out there somewhere. And there was always something, mystical about Railway Jack, and just something that he couldn't put a finger on during the training sessions and everything, and so he's trying to find him to, again, he thinks he may either has more to teach him or there's something that the Railway Jack was withholding from him that he would like to find out. He just gets this sense.
Nice. So the student is not yet the master.
Not yet, not even close. And this is his first foray out that he's been able to kind of put everything together for himself. I create this identity, and now he's going out into the world. So he doesn't really have any enemies yet, but I'm sure that will change.
Nice. How about friends? Does he have a staple of friends? Like you said, he's protecting those downtrodden and the homeless from his alleys.
He doesn't form relationships very well because he's always traveling. So he does have one friend, and it's a cat. And The cat, he calls him Tawny, as you can imagine where that
absolutely comes. Yeah.
But the cat is really just follows him everywhere and refuses to leave. And for some reason, this cat can get into his sanctum sanctorum. He doesn't know why, but this is the only creature that can get in there without his say-so.
I like that. That's cool. Let's see. Cat is able to get in. Now, has there been news reports or strange tweets from guys named Ben Kramer tracking the movements of the mystical hobo known as the Goblin Ghost?
There have been sightings of some very odd looking, defender of the downtrodden at night, and it's analogous, I guess, in the common today. You would, I guess, see tweets and everything for this thing,
right? I mean, you don't see a lot of that in current comics, but every once in a while, Batgirl, she does a lot of tweeting, yeah, as she's fighting and stuff. But I mean, you would have to think that the way the social media is, people would be, trying to snap pictures of, this guy who's the defender of the railways, which leads to my next question. We described him earlier as, having that Halloween goblin mask and then wrapped up in the Charlie Brown sheet. Has he ever been mistaken for Charlie Brown?
not generally, no. His mask typically doesn't lend itself to that cute and cuddly round face.
So nobody's trying to steal his football.
No, nobody is trying to steal his football, unless it's his cat.
I like the cat angle, how he can get into the cardboard sanctorum.
Yes, the target.
We need a name for that. If you're listening right now, we got a couple of guys who are watching us geek out about this, about the mystical hobo defender of the railways, aka the Goblin Ghost. If you have an idea of what the cardboard / TARDIS like secret sanctum should be called, put it up in the question. There's a Q&A up. So if you launch your Q&A app, you can ask us direct questions. Just send up a question and put the names in there, and we'll see it. And maybe we'll make you famous. So we got the Sanctum Sanctorum. Now, what kind of items does he have in there? I mean, obviously bottle caps, because you know.
Oh yeah, he's totally got bottle caps. He's got his flask, of course. And his armor, but his most of his items, he's got just discarded pieces of whatever trash. He's got tin cans. He uses those as kind of an early warning system.
Nice.
Some like vegetable scraps, like rotten fruit stuff that he can uses that as a distraction, because nobody likes to get hit by rotten tomatoes.
Does he have anything that all kids would have today, even though he's homeless and even though he's poor? Does he have a cell phone?
He does not have a cell phone. No, he doesn't really grok technology that well.
So two tin cans with a string?
Yeah. Yeah, he knows this thing about the internet, but he's never really used it. And he tends to not even be welcome with a library. So that tells you. But he does kind of watch the news just from the store windows, storefronts,
gotcha,
and passes, and kind of keeps in touch that way with what's going on. And he does have kind of this old, beat up radio, and that's where he kind of tunes in to the local channels and keeps himself, informed that way as well.
Nice. So up in the Q&A, we had Ben Kramer is joining us again.
The Mind Shack.
The Mind Shack. I somehow think some of those rotten vegetables might be mushrooms.
Oh, jeez.
This is awesome.
Is that 52 is running through my head. I don't know.
Oh, my God. This is great. Like I said, this could write itself. Oh, thanks, Ben.
That's awesome. Perfect. We have the mind check.
Oh, my God. All right. So we got mind check. Where is that? Perfect. When he goes out and does his thing, is he able to mystically transform into his, you know, rotted cape, tattered mask, and cardboard armor, or he's got a Peter Parker this thing?
He's got a kind of Peter Parker this thing. So he carries a little backpack with all this stuff in it that he needs, and he's got to find a place to kind of change.
Now, all the cardboard armor fits in that?
Oh, it does.
Nice.
It does, because it's all in his... It's all in his HQ, so he just got to pop that open, grab it, and go.
So the backpack is like the HQ. It's exactly. It's bottomless. Nice. Now, what are we thinking as I'm doing this sketch? What are we thinking for ethnicity? Is he white, black? We already established that he's a 15-year-old guy. You know, kind of scrawny, kind of thin. When he goes out in his alter ego as the Goblin Ghost, which is the greatest name I've heard in a while, just right off the top of somebody's head. When he goes all Goblin Ghost, what does, you know, how much of his features are hidden? You know, is there a little hints of whatever to get complexion? What are we thinking for this guy?
So he's Caucasian. He's got, you know, brown eyes, kind of longish brown hair, you know, kind okay. of, well, just kind of ratty. Doesn't really.
Does it stick out of the mask?
It does kind of stick out of the mask. Yeah. So it kind of comes, you know, out of the sides and is just kind of crazy, tousled. He typically, the mask will, you know, it covers his features, but his hair, he tries to hide that a little bit, and he kind of colors it when he's in the Goblin Ghost mode. So he tries to just put some quick paint and stuff in his hair, and he's not worried about cleanliness or anything like that. So not part of his motif, because he doesn't want people to recognize his tousled brown hair when he's going about himself as Drake. So
gotcha. Now. When he dons the mask of the Goblin Ghost, do we have like signature moves, like, you know, the Spider-Man crouch, the Hulk, you know, raging back, Captain America with his jaw forward? You know, does he drool? I mean, what do we got going on here?
Does he drool? I think his, let's see, his, he, when he kind of confronts the bad guys, right? So he pictures himself, he's going to try to put on this air of intimidation, because number one, he doesn't want to get hit. So he's trying to scare the bad guys a little bit so that they are less likely to want to hit him. So he kind of jumps in and his signature, let me think, his signature phrase that he'll kind of start any battle with is, you know, beware the Goblin Ghost, I'm coming for you.
Nice. Very, like the Shadow from back in the day.
Yes, very.
Nice. And, so far in his superhero crime fighting career, with Ben Kramer adding the fact that he looks a little dirty underneath his uniform, has he just thugs and punks that he's encountered, or has he met any bad guys?
No real bad guys so far. He's just kind of the local street thugs and crime and, you know, gangbangers, et cetera, and trying to kind of clean up what parts of his street he can manage so far.
Now, is the uniform held together with like I know the armor is probably put on with either duct tape or rope.
Oh yeah, totally duct tape.
Yeah, okay. How about
he's a big believer if you can't fix it, duck it. So yeah.
Of course he is. Oh my God, I'm gonna need a minute.
that's also on his utility belt. He's got a big roll of duct tape.
Duct tape, yep. Absolutely. Yep, I wholeheartedly agree because just like the guy from Bird Notice said, bullets make you dumb. Duct tape makes you smart.
That's right. Way to go, Mike.
Yep. How about the kind of like the ratty cloak he has going on? Is that held together by rope too, or does he have like an old leather belt that straps everything together?
No, he's got this this it's a giant safety pin that literally is around his neck.
And like from one of those novelty stores?
Yes, that's right. And it kind of clasps it together up at his neck, and then it just kind of folds over him, almost like a cloak. But he puts it on, you know, kind of envelops him if he feels he's getting emotionally beat upon.
So it's kind of like Linus's whoopee.
Exactly right.
Oh my God, this should so be a web comic. How are we doing on time, by the way, before you go to split?
We're good. I've got another hour or so.
Okay. So we have, let's see. So he's got vehicle skill. Does he prefer one versus another?
You know, his favorite vehicle, honestly, is a moped.
Of course.
He can tool around on that thing all on sidewalks and cruise around and just, for whatever reason, he can stash it, just really very little worry about parking. So yeah, he likes mopeds. So whenever he can get his hands on one, he'll take the moped and cruise around.
Nice. So when he takes a moped from its parking spot, does he leave like a little index card?
Does.
You know, with your ride has been ganked by the goblin ghost?
He actually uses lollipop wrappers.
I'm running out of space to write all this down.
So he uses lollipop wrappers to leave his notes, yes. And
oh my God, that's brilliant.
He always returns it. Whenever he's done with it, it may not be in the best condition all the time. He always returns it.
In the first Scene Stealers adventure that we produced from my company, there's a chase scene. And for those guys who can't fly or like super speed or stuff like that, there's a random table of, you know, the heroes can try to commandeer a vehicle. One of them was an ice cream truck, and a couple of guys wrote in and said that was the best thing ever. But another one was a moped, and you know, one of the gaming groups ran the adventure. They had two speedsters, a guy who flew, and then like a Batman-style character who didn't have any speed powers, and no Batmobile. So he confiscated the moped. And the whole time that they were in the chase scene, he had uploaded like a sound effect from one of the like the ringtone websites. And periodically, he was just hitting the sound effect of the moped pegged all the way, and it was, they said it was the most anticlimactic thing they'd ever seen. I can just picture him trying to get on a train or something like that, and you know, the goblin, tattered goblin cloak, you know, in the breeze with that evil mask, and you just have that high-pitched whine as he's trying to catch up. Oh, I so need to write this comic. Now, is anybody looking for him? Right now, he's had it rough, and he basically grew up in the streets. Is there anybody looking for him? I mean, obviously, the police probably have word out on Charlie Brown on crack, saving the community one, you know, beating at a time. But What about like parents or something like that? Is his parents gone? Are they?
Yeah, he doesn't know. He doesn't know what happened. He doesn't know why he grew up on the rails. It's just a complete mystery. He's a blank slate when it comes to family, anything like that. The only person that seems really interested in him is seems to be kind of a web follower, right? So he
really,
yeah. So this person is always posting stuff, and he sees these blips on the news screens as he's walking by, and kind of, you know, is able to figure out somebody is interested in what I'm doing. Doesn't know who it is, doesn't know why, but there's somebody that's out there that seems to be keeping tabs on whatever he's involved in.
Now, would that person happen to be named Ben Kramer?
That person would be named Ben Kramer.
That's fantastic. That is fantastic. Where's my notes? I got paper all over my desk now. and he follows the Goblin Ghost on Twitter, right?
He does. And you know, Goblin Ghost doesn't have a phone or anything, so he doesn't get a lot of these tweets. But he has somehow managed – his radio is mystically tuned in. So that radio that he's using, this old, you know, 1950s beat-up thing, is somehow tuned in to catch these different things. And he'll hear it. Doesn't realize what he's hearing, but he's picking up this chatter.
So it's like one of those like small handhelds, the one with the kind with the what do you call it, the earbud. It's just the one earbud from like the white earbud that looked like a suppository from the 50s that went right into your ear. Is that the kind we're talking about? Those old handheld radios.
Perfect.
Oh my God. I don't know how I'm going to draw this. I mean, I got the basic body done. So, real quick for those following along, right? We got, let me see if this might be a little hard to see. Hold on a second. Let's see. So we got the basic body style done. Right? He's kind of thin. He's got the magical symbol coming off the left hand and the Shaki chakra coming off the right. So I figure if he does, you know, mimic energy and throw some particles out there, it's going to come off the pinky like that because, you know, it's just the way it works. I got suppository earbuds. I got, I got Charlie Brown cloaks and beat up Halloween masks. And cardboard mystical armor.
Cardboard armor, yes.
Oh my God, how the hell am I going to do this? So Ben just threw us another question. So you have to start posting as the Goblin Ghost now, by the way. And if you're not going to, I definitely am. For those listening at home and not watching the video, we have Ben Kramer, who is following us right now on the live broadcast and sending us tweets and has been very kind to us so far, has said that he's honored that he is now the Goblin Ghost's official stalker. And if not a webcomic, at least a novelty Twitter account has to be formed immediately to honor this very incredible character that is taking place right as we speak. So, Tawny, the cat, going back to that, do we have... Does he just hang around and basically be useless, or does he have a purpose like in the story?
He tends to show up when he's least wanted, but most needed. So
like any cat.
Yes, exactly. And he's your typical, you know, you remember Morris?
Yes.
Yeah. He looks just like Morris. He's orange striped, you know, tomcat, chubby as all get out, and just loves to just somehow get in the middle of things. But for whatever reason, whenever he does that, it seems to turn out all right, for not in a way that anybody would expect, but he seems to somehow add to the comedic feel to whatever's going on.
Of course. Now, in talking about that and the way that he shows up like that, did we want to leave him as just a standard NPC, or did we want to up the game a little bit and maybe make him a dependent?
Yeah, he could be a dependent. We could do that.
All right. So he doesn't show up all the time, but periodically he gets into it, and the goblin ghost feels kind of responsible for this cat.
He does. He does. Even though he, as much as he likes to think he does, he loathes this cat. It's probably his only friend.
All right. So let's go. Let's make Tawny a dependent. Right. And how often do you want him showing up in the action?
Yeah, probably once an adventure, when it's when it is the most inconvenient.
Got it. All right, so we'll make him. So that's 1D. So now you have another 1D that you can either throw at competency dice, or you could add to the character somewhere.
He's going to add that to the competency dice.
Nice. So you got 1D, competency, and Tawny the Dependent. Oh, you know what would be absolutely great? If Tawny was Railway Jack.
Yes, exactly where my mind was going.
Oh, my God. And all the times he gets into trouble, it's not really getting him getting into trouble. It's him acting just like Yoda, seeing if he can hack it. Oh, my God. Like I said, this comic is writing itself. All right, so do you feel like you would want to add anything to the Goblin Ghost right now?
Or if I add anything else, he might not be able to walk.
Right. Right. Well, he's got a lot of baggage. That's for damn sure. We can't put him in a wheelchair or something like that. That would just be mean. Trying to get that cardboard box unfolded like that, that'd be rough. And as somebody who has spent considerable amount of time either in a wheelchair or on crutches, boxes are my nemesis. Let's see. We got, all right. So this actually looks really good. You know, you got a lot going on here, as far as, story. The advantages and disadvantages are very balanced. I like the powers. And the descriptions of the powers, right? Played right. This guy, even though he's not, you know, blowing up buildings, could be a nuisance for whatever supervillain is coming at him. What kind of personality are we talking to? I know we said he's kind of withdrawn. Does he, you know, is he? Even though he's withdrawn, is he quippy? Is he quiet?
He's usually pretty. He can be quippy. He can be quippy. Just depends on how intimidated he is by what's on the other side.
Did you see that?
Savage razors. Oh, I love it.
Are you adding that?
I am adding that.
Yeah. You have to. Oh, God.
And it's pink and has tassels.
Because of course it does.
Of course it does.
Oh, my God.
Beggars can't be choosers.
Oh, that's so brilliant for so many ways. Once again, our very gracious viewer Ben is adding to the narrative using a scavenged razor scooter when he can't get a moped. You know? Oh God, I'm gonna have to go out now and get my nephew who is about that age, put him in this costume, give him a razor scooter, and just take pictures and blast it all over Twitter and Instagram. So I think we got a good concept going on. Now you said that you have to step out for just a bit. This would probably be a good place to cut it. And then what we could do is when you're ready to jump back in, we'll do that as the second piece. And then you can take the Goblin Ghost through our first part of Scene Stealers number 3, Black Magic.
That sounds awesome.
All right. So This has been construction of the Goblin Ghost, aka Drake, Defender of the Railways. We're here with Jeff Seifert and our very gracious viewer who's been jumping into the conversation a lot, Ben Kramer. Is there anything else you'd like to throw out there before we cut this and pick up with part two in a little bit?
I think the Goblin Ghost is excited to get started on his first major adventure.
Nice. That's fantastic. Okay, I'm going to kill the broadcast now. My name is Walt. I am one of the guys with Hazard Studio and the Banff Podcast. And this should be posted to the web almost immediately on YouTube. And then we'll get this put to audio later on in the week. Thank you very much for stopping by, and keep it super.